نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with the fiqh and the book of Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, Ad-Durur al-Bahiyya, and with it is Al-Adillat al-Radiyya, li Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, hafadahullah. We're still in the book of Tahara, and we come to the chapter Al-Hayd wa Nifas, or the chapter of the menstrual cycle and the postnatal bleeding. And we come to the first section, Al-Hayd, and the statement of the Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, لم يأتي في تقدير أقله وأكثره ما تقوم به الحجة وكذلك الطهر فذات العادة المتقررة تعمل عليها وغيرها ترجع إلى القرائن فدم الحيض يتميز عن غيره فتكون حائضا إذا رأت دم الحيض ومستحاضة إذا رأت غيره وهي كالطاهرة وتغسل أثر الدم وتتوضأ لكل صلاة والحائض لا تصلي ولا تصوم ولا توطأ حتى تغتسل بعد الطهر وتقضي الصيام. الفصل الثاني النفاس والنفاس أكثره 40 يوما ولا حد لأقله وهو كالحيض. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he tells us in the first section, al-fasl al-awwal al-hayd, or the first section about the menstrual cycle, that there's nothing that states how short the menstrual cycle is, nor how long the menstrual cycle is from the evidences. And likewise, how long is the period of purification. The customs of the women is what they're going to go by. Or they're going to use the signs or symbols that would help them determine how long the menstrual cycle is or how long the period of purification is, and we'll explain inshallah. And then the Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says the menstrual cycle blood distinguishes itself from other blood. So the lady is on her menstrual cycle when she sees the menstrual blood, and she is mustahaba when she sees other than that, and she is like a pure lady when she is mustahaba. She will wash the area where the blood is, and then she would make a wudu for every salat when she is mustahaba. The menstruating lady does not make salat and she does not fast, nor does her husband make relations with her until she takes a ghusl after she has become pure and she makes up her fasting. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, in the second section on nifas, or the postnatal bleeding, he says nifas could last up to 40 days, and there's no limit to how short it can be. And the verdicts pertaining to the hayd or the menstrual cycle are the same verdicts that pertain to the nifas. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he begins the section on al-hayd, and al-hayd is the lady's menstrual cycle, and he begins with the statement that there's no evidence that states or proves how short a menstrual cycle is, or how long a menstrual cycle is, or how short a period of purification is, or how long a period of purification is. And the Shaykh Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he says that Imam al-Shawkani is correct in his statement, as everything that's mentioned about this issue of determining how long or how short the menstrual cycle is from the hadith that go to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, none of them are authentic. And at best, there are only narrations from other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which doesn't establish proof for us in Islam. And here we have to stop and to make this point clear every now when we make this statement, as it may seem as if we're contradicting ourselves when we say that no statement other than the statement of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is proof for us in Islam. And we mean that. And at times people think that we're contradicting ourselves as we call to the following of the Salaf al-Salih. When we say that we follow the Salaf al-Salih, this is their understanding and their practice of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Only the Qur'an and the Sunnah is proof in Islam, and nothing else is proof in Islam. The statements of the Sahaba, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu, aren't proof in Islam. Rather, they are the clarification, and we get from it how to apply this Qur'an and the Sunnah. Not that the statements of the Sahaba or the Tabi'een are proof in itself, because nothing is proof in itself except the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Except that it's the understanding that comes from the Qur'an, it says understanding of the Qur'an and of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, except in the case if the Sahaba all agree on something, then that's evidence, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is the one who taught us that this ummah will not all agree on something wrong. So in actuality, this proof that stems from the ijma' of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, this is even founded in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. So there's no contradiction, alhamdulillah, in our statement that the Sahaba determined a length for the menstrual cycle or how short it should be or whatever, and we're saying that that's not proof And then on the other hand, we're saying follow the Salaf al-Saleh. Yes, we're following them, meaning we follow their understanding and their application of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And in this statement, there's no disrespect to our Salaf al-Saleh, as we love them and we follow them, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to show His mercy on them and on us, as this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, what determines the lady's menstrual cycle is her custom or her habit. And we see this from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, قالت فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله إني لا أطهر أفأدع الصلاة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما ذلك عرق وليس بالحيضة فإذا أقبلت الحيضة فاتركي الصلاة فإذا ذهب قدرها فاغسلي عنك الدم وصلي. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, she said that Fatima, the daughter of Abu Hubaysh, said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, I never have a period of purification. As if she's saying, I'm always on my period, constantly. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Should I stop making the salah? And she's making this question as the women know that there's no salat when she's on her menstrual cycle. And then she's saying, I bleed all the time. Should I leave off the salat? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered, that is only a vein. And it's not your menstrual cycle. So when your menstrual cycle comes, leave off the salat. And then, when the length of your menstrual cycle is over, wash away the blood and make salah. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he's explaining that the menstrual cycle time is known by the lady. As he's saying, when your menstrual cycle is gone, then wash away the rest of that other blood. And we're going to explain this issue, inshallah ta'ala. But the point that we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is that he's showing that the lady knows her menstrual cycle and the length of it. And here, in the Arabic, it seems to be a little clearer when I was just trying to bring it across the best way I can. As Prophet ﷺ says, and when your menstrual cycle is gone, he's really saying when the length of your menstrual cycle is over. قَدْرُهَا, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ قَدْرُهَا, when the length or the measure or the amount of that menstrual cycle is over. And this is the word here that the Shaykh is using to show that the women are the ones from their habits. Each individual lady knows when her menstrual cycle comes and how long it is and how long she is in a state of purification. And this is even on some of the women that may be a little irregular, even they know that they're irregular. So this is the proof for the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, that what you use to determine the length of the lady's menstrual cycle is the lady knows best from what has taken place in her past, how long and how short is her menstrual cycle or her period of purification. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and other than that, other than the menstrual cycle, you're going to look at the signs or the symbols or the qara'in and the this means that the lady is going to look at the type of blood in order to know about the menstrual cycle from other than the menstrual cycle, as Imam al-Shawkani is really going on to explain in his next statement, as he says, and the blood of the menstrual cycle distinguishes itself from other than that blood. And this is seen in the hadith of Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i rahimahum Allah, عن فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش أنها كانت تستحاض فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان دم الحيض فإنه دم أسود يعرف فإذا كان ذلك فأمسكي عن الصلاة فإذا كان الآخر فتوضئي وصلي. And this authentic hadith on the authority of Fatima, the daughter of Abu Hubaysh, and she's the same lady from the other hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, and this is another narration showing other statements of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that she used to be a lady that's mustahaba. And we'll explain who is the lady that's mustahaba. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, when your menstrual cycle blood is there, then it's a dark, blackish, reddish type of blood that's well known. So when you're in that state of your menstrual cycle, then don't make salah. And then if there's another type of blood, make a wudu and make salah. And another narration, wash your private area, make a wudu, and then make the salah. And this is what is upon the women who are mustahaba. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith, and there's other hadith, shows that that menstrual blood has a particular color to it, and that is black or blackish red or reddish black, whichever way it's supposed to be said, and that blood is well known to the women. And if the lady, as the sheikh, he goes on to say, so the lady is menstruating when she sees the menstruating blood. So this is Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah. Really, he's using all of these statements to kind of define and narrow down when a lady is menstruating and when a lady is not menstruating. And this is when she has that blood and she knows when it comes and the color of it is very dark, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes on to say, and the mustahaba lady is, and that she's mustahaba, a lady is mustahaba when she sees other than her menstruating blood. As as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in the past two hadith that we saw, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed her that that other blood that comes other than that menstruating blood, then it's just from a vein and it's just regular blood, and you just wipe that blood away, make your wudu and make the salah, as opposed to the menstrual blood which is dark and well known. And then Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he's saying that the mustahaba lady is like a lady who's not on her menstrual cycle altogether. Meaning she's like a lady in the state of purification. This mustahaba lady is a lady that finds that she has some blood other than the menstrual blood from her private area. This is the mustahaba lady. And this lady is like a lady who's not menstruating, or a purified lady in the sense that she does everything that the women do when they're not menstruating. Except that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained to her that she wipes away the blood and she makes the wudu before she makes the salah. And other than that, then that lady takes the verdict of the women who are tahira, are the women who are in the state of purification. And this means that her husband can have relations with her, and the other things that women can do when they're not, she can fast and what have you, as she's not on her menstrual cycle. Then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, she wipes away her the blood that's there other than the menstrual blood. And we saw this from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said in the narration of Bukhari rahimahullah, wipe away that blood and then make the wudu, as in the narration of Abu Dawood, and then make the salah. So Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah is just explaining what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained, that the lady wipes away that blood that comes from the vein, that's not the menstrual blood. Then she makes a wudu for every salah, as we saw in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, the lady who is menstruating, she doesn't make salah and she doesn't fast. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh, he quotes the hadith, the part of it that pertains to the topic, and we'll mention all of it inshallah ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah collects hadith on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qala kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi adha aw fi fitr ila al-musalla فمر على النساء فقال يا معشر النساء تصدقنا فإني أريت كن أكثر أهل النار فقلنا وبما يا رسول الله قال تكثرن اللعن وتكثرن العشير ما رأيت من ناقصات عقل ودين أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من إحداكن قلنا وما نقصان ديننا وعقلنا يا رسول الله قال أليس شهادة المرأة مثل نصف شهادة الرجل قلنا بلى قال فذلك من نقصان عقلها أليس إذا حاضت لم تصلي ولم تصم قلنا بلى قال فذلك من نقصان دينها. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Musalla on the Eid al-Adha or the Eid al-Fitr. And he went past the women and he said, O you group of women, give charity, or I command you to give some charity, because indeed I saw that you were the majority of the people of the Hellfire. So they said, and why is that, Ya Rasulullah? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because you curse too much and because you don't treat your husbands right. And I haven't seen anyone more deficient in their intellect or their deen that takes away from a decisive, intelligent man than you women. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And they said, what is our deficiency in our deen and our intellect, Ya Rasulullah? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, isn't the witness of a lady equal to half the witness of a man? And they said, of course. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that's the deficiency in their intellect. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a lady, if she's menstruating, she doesn't make salat and she doesn't fast. Isn't that so? And the woman said, of course. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that's their deficiency in their deen. So here we see in this statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the women don't make salah and don't fast when they are menstruating, from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the proof of the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, that the menstruating lady does not make salah and that she doesn't fast. And that her husband doesn't have relations with her until she takes a ghusl after she has become pure. And this is from the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 222, where Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًا فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and they ask you, and they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the menstrual cycle. Say to them, it is a harm, so stay away from the women during their menstrual cycle. So here the Messenger of Allah, here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows us in the Quran that this menstrual cycle is a harm, and to stay away from the women, and to stay away from the women means not to have sex with them. Allah's statement, stay away from the women during their menstrual cycle, means do not have sex with them during their menstrual cycle. This statement of Allah Ta'ala, as some of the ulama had mentioned, and we don't mention it all the time, that this harm that the menstrual cycle is, the ulama say that this is because that blood is najis, and it stinks, and it's filthy, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a harm. And the hadith of Imam Muslim on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, أن اليهود كان إذا حاضت المرأة فيهم لم يؤتلوها ولم يجامعوهن في البيوت. فسأل أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنزل الله تعالى ويسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح. This hadith of Imam Muslim, the Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Jews, they used to, if one of their wives was on her menstrual cycle, that they didn't eat with her and they didn't stay in the house with her. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Allah revealed, and they asked you concerning the menstrual cycle. Say it is a harm, so stay away from the women during the menstrual cycle, or don't have sex with the women during the menstrual cycle. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do everything you want except sex. So here in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shows that the men must not have relations with their wives while they're on their menstrual cycles. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, until they take a ghusl after they have become pure. And this is the part of the ayah that the Shaykh hafidhahullah, he didn't mention, the perfection is for Allah. As the ayah goes on, وَلَا تَقَرُبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطَهُرْنَا فَإِذَا تَطَهَرْنَا فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this ayah, so I prohibit you from going near them, meaning I prohibit you from having sex with them until they are pure. And when they're pure, then have relations with them as Allah has commanded you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that it's not permissible to have relations with them while they're on their menstrual cycle until they become pure. And when they become pure, meaning, and when they take a ghusl, as the ulama explained, then have relations with your wives as Allah has commanded you. We see in this hadith, other than just the point that it's not permissible for a man to have relations with his wife during her menstrual cycle, and that he can have relations with her until she becomes pure and then takes a ghusl. We see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, a point that we like to mention, and that is that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, he didn't answer on his own desires, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the answer. And this is the truthfulness of the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he doesn't speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Also, we see in this hadith that it's permissible for a man to do anything he wants with his wife other than have sex with her when she's on her menstrual cycle. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam shows that anything that a man wants to do with his wife, lay down with her, kiss her, feel her, and what have you, that all of this is permissible when she's on her menstrual cycle, so long as he stays away from intercourse, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited that, and his Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's also some other benefit in this hadith, as the hadith goes on. This hadith from Sahih Muslim, the Messenger, the hadith goes on after that, فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ الْيَهُودَ فَقَالُوا مَا يُرِيدُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ أَنْ يَدَعَ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا شَيْئًا إِلَّا خَالَفَنَا فِيهِ. فَجَاءَ أُسَيْدُ بْنُ حُضَيْرٍ وَعُبَادُ بْنُ بِشْرٍ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الْيَهُودَ تَقُولُ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَلَا نُجَامِعُهُنَّ. فتغير وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى ظننا أن قد وجد عليهما، فخرج فاستقبلهما هدية من لبن إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأرسل في آثارهما فسقاهما، فعرف أن لم يجد عليهما. The rest of the hadith goes on that this news came back to the Jews, that the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام recited to the believers this ayah that shows that they must not have relations with their wives during their menstrual cycle until the menstrual cycle is over with and the lady has taken a ghusl. When this news got back to, and that the men can do whatever they want with their wives during the menstrual cycle, meaning sleep in the, stay in the same house, sleep in the same bed, eat with them at the table, and so on and so forth, read the Quran to them as the Messenger of Allah used to do. The women can comb their husband's hair when she's on a menstrual cycle, or wash him up in the shower, or what have you, when she's on her menstrual cycle, as comes in some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this news got back to the Jews, they said, "This man," referring to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is because of the filthiness of the Jews and the way they address the last prophet and messenger to humanity sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of calling him the Messenger of Allah, they said, "This man doesn't want," sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "doesn't want to leave anything that we have said should be done, except that he opposes us and what we do," sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Usayd ibn Hudayr and Ubad ibn Bishr, or Abbad ibn Bishr, they said, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed the Jews, they say such and such and such and such," referring now, bringing this news back to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So shouldn't we have sex with them when they're on their menstrual cycles? So the face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed until they thought that he got angry with them too. And then they left, those two men that asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they thought he was angry, so they left. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam prepared for them a gift of some milk, and he sent for the people to go get those two men and to give them a drink of the milk. And then they knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not angry with them. So we see in this hadith, the rest of this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, some other benefits, and that is that the Messenger of Allah was very keen to oppose the Jews in everything that they did. And this isn't just the Jews, but this is Ahl al-Kitab, or the Jews and the Christians in general. And this is one of the principles of Islam, that the Muslims make sure that they go out their way to be different from the Jews and the Christians, as the Messenger of Allah used to do, so much so that the Jews and the Christians bore witness that the Messenger of Allah didn't leave anything except that he made sure that he was different from them in it. And really the Christians and the Jews, they should feel this from the Muslims too, that the Muslims are always doing everything different than us. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We also see from this, the rest of this hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was generous and he was kind, alayhi salatu wasalam, as maybe even if he felt a little uncomfortable about the statement of the Jews after the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he felt that maybe they were a little intimidated from him, and he gave them a gift to show them that there's no hard feelings, that you were only asking a question and I was only trying to give you the answer based on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there's nothing in our hearts. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, advice for myself and Ahlul Sunnah in general, that at times when we bring the evidence of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people, and the people don't accept it, and then we feel a little like, you hear me quote the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam to you, and you're not going to follow it? And then the people think that there's something personal between us and them, because they didn't accept the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, which to take this advice or this guidance of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to try to go out the way to show them, no way your brother in Islam, and there's feelings, and we care for you, except that we expect that the people will follow that which was given to us from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and that which was given to us by our Prophet and Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And to make this point clear to the people who don't practice the Quran and the Sunnah, that nothing is personal, except that we dislike that people don't worship Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and that people don't worship Allah by following His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues by saying, and the menstruating women make up the fast that they missed while they were menstruating. And this refers to the compulsory fast of the month of Ramadan. As we see in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahum Allah, on the authority of Mu'adha, قالت سألت عائشة رضي الله عنها فقلت ما بال الحائض تقضي الصوم ولا تقضي الصلاة فقالت أحرورية أنت فقلت لست بحرورية ولكني أسأل قالت كان يصيبنا ذلك فنؤمر بقضاء الصوم ولا نؤمر بقضاء الصلاة. And this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Mu'adha rahimahullah, she said that I asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as I said to her, what's up with this issue that the menstruating women make up their fast and they don't make up the salah? So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, are you a hururiyya? And this is referring, this is another one of the names that they used to call the Khawarij. As the Khawarij used to think that the women have to make up the salah and they have to make up the fasting when they were menstruating. So the lady said, no, I'm not a hururiyya, meaning I'm not from amongst the Khawarij, those people who practice the Quran and the Sunnah without the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, and because of this, that they deviated. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha answered her when she said that I was only asking that we used to be on our menstrual cycles and we were commanded to make up the fast and we weren't commanded to make up the salat, meaning the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who explained to us make up the fasting and not to make up the salat, as we saw in the hadith before this. And there are some other statements or some benefits from this, inshallah ta'ala, as we see from the statement of Ahmad Shakir. And Ahmad Shakir, rahimahullah, is from amongst the big ulama who called to the Quran and the Sunnah, who lived in Egypt, and he died maybe 50 or so years ago, or even less, rahimahullah. He made a statement here he made this on the narration of Sunnah Tirmidhi when he brings this hadith and he was explaining it. So he put this statement, I'll try to translate inshallah ta'ala. He said the issue of the menstruating women making up the fast and not making up the salat, then this is an issue of pure worship. And that no one knows why it's like that, except that we have been commanded to do it just like this. So if we understand a particular verdict and know the hikmah or the wisdom behind it, then alhamdulillah. And if we don't, then we still accept it just the way it is. And this goes not only for this issue, but every issue in Islam. whether we understand the why to it or not, so long as we have been commanded to do it or prohibited from doing it from our Lord Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, then it's just the way it comes from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not the way that the Khawarij did. And the Khawarij, and it's important to make this point, that the Khawarij are the ones who practice the Quran and the Sunnah without the understanding and the application of the Salaf al-Saleh. And this is why they were astray, as they tried to teach the Sahaba how to practice the Quran and the Sunnah. When every time an issue came up, and the Sahaba said it was supposed to be done like this, then their evidence would be, Allah says this, how you gonna say do that? And really they were the ones, the first ones who Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was pleased with, because of their practice and their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, and only the people after them would earn the same type of pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if they had the same understanding and the same practice of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is why we're amazed at anyone who can come out and say he doesn't understand and practice the Quran and the Sunnah according to the Salaf al-Saleh, because this is a statement of deviance, and he's as deviant as far as away, or as far as he is away from the understanding and the practice of our Salaf al-Saleh, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu. He says, not like the Khawarij and not like many of the people of our time. And this is the same time we're living in. He says, not the people of our time who use their own intellect to make the verdicts and the affairs of this deen. If their intellect agrees with any text from the Quran and the Sunnah, okay, we accept that ayah or that hadith and we'll practice it that way. Anytime that they don't understand an ayah or a hadith, or that they don't think that this is the meaning of a particular ayah or hadith, then they just deny it. They just deny the verdict that stems from the ayah or the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or they just turn away from it altogether, acting as if it doesn't exist. And this nasty or this bad, evil understanding has become widespread now, unfortunately. And this is especially amongst those who are considered learned from amongst the people who follow their own intellect. The people who use their own intellect above the Quran and the Sunnah, you have the ignorant people who don't know anything, who put their ignorance above the Quran and the Sunnah, and then you have the educated people who put their education above the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And here Ahmad Shakir is showing that this is more so amongst the educated than amongst the ignorant, as on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as if he's trying to say that the people who don't know anything are quicker to submit because he don't know anything. And how is he going to put his intellect above the Quran and the Sunnah when he knows that he doesn't know anything anyway? As opposed to the people who are educated, who think they know something, as used to be widespread in America, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to eliminate this type of understanding, that because you have a doctor's degree in engineering or a master's degree in architecture or what have you, that you can speak on this deen because you're a Muslim. Brother has a law degree, brother's a lawyer, been practicing law 25 years, and he's Muslim, as if that gives him the authority to speak about this deen because he's respected in the dunya. At any rate, the Shaykh Ahmad Shakir Hafizahullah, he says that this issue of putting your intellect above the Quran and the Sunnah when you don't understand it is especially amongst the educated. So much so that many of the educated turn away from many of the acts of worship, and they deny them. And they deny many of the verdicts of this deen when it comes to the mu'amalat or the practices, whether it's the business practices or the health practices or what have you, that they turn away from it following their own desires, thinking that they have what is called the ruh al-tashri'. The ruh al-tashri', or the hikmah al-tashri', that they have the spirit of this legislation, or the sharia, or the wisdom of the sharia. What they say is, no, we believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. If we disbelieve in the Quran and the Sunnah, we wouldn't be Muslim. So why do you people keep telling us that we disbelieve in the Quran and the Sunnah? We believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, and we follow the Quran and the Sunnah. We're just telling you that you don't understand the real spirit of the Quran and the Sunnah, or you don't understand the wisdom behind the Quran and the Sunnah. This is their statement, those people who follow their own desires amongst the educated, above, outside, leave the light of Al-Islam and enter into the darkness of kufr and apostate from this deen, wal-iyadu billah, from thalik, and we seek Allah's protection and refuge in Allah from that, and we ask Allah to save us by holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah and the guidance that stems from both of them. Ameen. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he continues, he ends here with this being the end of the chapter of Al-Hayy. And then he goes, or the section of Al-Hayy, and then he goes on to the section of An-Nifas. And An-Nifas, as we said, is the postnatal bleeding, or the bleeding that takes place after the lady gives birth. Imam Ash-Shawkani said that the longest this could be is 40 days. And this is from the hadith collected by Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic. عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها قالت كانت النفساء على أهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تقعد بعد نفاسها 40 يوما أو 40 ليلة وكنا نطلي على وجوهنا الورصة تعني من الكلف. And this hadith collected by Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi and it's authentic. Salama radiallahu anha, she said that the women who were in this state of postnatal bleeding, that these women during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sit for 40 days or 40 nights in this condition, meaning leaving off the fasting and leaving off the salat and not having relations with her husband and those things that are left off when a lady is just like those things left off when a lady is menstruating. She would be in this condition, and then she would just beautify her face with some makeup. Or as he said, وَكُنَّا نُطْلِي عَلَى وُجُوهِنَا الْوَرْسَ تَعْنِي مِنَ الْكَلَفِ. And this is just some of the things that the women used to use to put on their faces to beautify themselves. So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, of Salama, that during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the women used to see that 40 days was the longest that a lady would go on this postnatal bleeding until she resumed the state of purification. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says there's nothing that shows how short this can be, meaning there's no proof to show how short the postnatal bleeding can be. So maybe just the initial blood that comes out of the lady, once that's out, maybe she comes into a state of purification, and she will be purified so long as she's not bleeding. So this can be anywhere from 1 second up until 40 days, as there's no evidence to show how short this postnatal bleeding can be. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said that the verdicts that pertain to the nifas, or the postnatal bleeding, are the exact same verdicts that pertain to the hayd. And this is that which the ulama have all agreed upon. There's no difference from the first ulama to the last ulama, that the verdict of the nifas, or the post-birth bleeding, the postnatal bleeding, are the exact verdicts that apply to the lady menstruating.
And this is the explanation of the chapter Al-Hayd wa Nifas by Imam al-Shawkani and his statement that there is nothing that can be used as evidence to show how short or how long a menstrual cycle is, or how short or how long a state of purification is with a lady. But what determines how long a lady's menstrual cycle is, or how long her state of purification is her own habit, or what she knows from her menstrual cycle and her state of purification. And this can be determined, or the lady can know her menstrual cycle from her state of purification, by the signs, meaning that, as Imam al-Shawkani explained, that the blood of the menstrual, the menstrual blood distinguishes itself from other blood because it's dark, reddish black or blackish red. And the lady is menstruating when she sees this type of blood. And she's a mustahaba if she sees any other type of blood. And if she's mustahaba, then she's just like a lady who is pure. Except that she must wipe away the blood and to make a wudu for every salat that she makes. The lady who is menstruating leaves off fasting and making the salat. And she makes up her fasting. And she cannot have relations with her husband until her menstrual cycle is over with and she takes a ghusl. And the section of nifas, the nifas or the postnatal bleeding, can only be up to 40 days. And there's no evidence to show how short it can be, showing that it can be a second long. And the verdict of the hayd or the menstrual cycle apply exactly to the verdict of the nifas. This is the explanation of what Imam al-Shawkani brought us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. I don't know if there are any questions from the sisters or from the brothers, or if there are any questions from Asbury Park. Now's the time for that, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. While we're waiting for that question, inshallah ta'ala, I hope they hold on until they get it straight. I wanted to say that this is the end of Kitab al-Tahara. And I wanted to just summarize what we just covered, inshallah ta'ala, the Kitab al-Tahara, or the Book of Purification, and how this thing was divided up so that we can see it, inshallah ta'ala, as a summary, that we have the Kitab al-Tahara, or the Book of Purification. Then we had the first chapter, the classification of the waters. Then we have the second chapter being the chapter of Najasa. The chapter of Najasa had a first section, the verdict pertaining to Najasa. And then the second section was how to clean the Najasa. And then chapter number 3 was relieving ourselves. Chapter number 4 was making the wudu, or the chapter of the wudu, which has 3 sections. The first section was what is compulsory to be done to make the wudu, then what is recommended for the wudu, and then section number 3, that which breaks the wudu. And then chapter 5 was the ghusl, which had the first section, when does it become compulsory to make a ghusl. The second section, what are the pillars of the ghusl and what are the sunnahs of the ghusl. And then section number 3, when is it recommended to take a ghusl. And then chapter number 6 was the tayammum, and chapter number 7 was the chapter that we just covered, al-hayd wa nifas, which had the section of Hayd, and then the section of the Nifas, as we saw today. And this is all the book of purification with the various chapters. All of these things come under the chapter, all of these things come under the book of At-Tahara. And next week, inshallah ta'ala, we will be beginning the book of Salah. And the book of Salah has many chapters, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and we hope that we can begin that next week. I don't know if Shalabi, if you still had any questions.
Raise out of here.
What is that?
Doing the ghusl?
Yes.
I'm taking the braids out?
Uh-huh.
You know, what is the time? You know, get to this hadith. One dealing with the janaba. The other one is the minister.
You didn't ask the question, though.
Oh, she want to know about taking them out. It's necessary to take the braids out. She's doing the ghusl bath.
If a lady is after her menstrual cycle, she's going to take a ghusl, it's recommended or highly recommended that the lady take her braids out. After this ghusl that she makes after the menstrual cycle. As opposed to the ghusl after relations with her husband, it's nothing that says that it's recommended or compulsory to take out her braids. She just makes sure that her whole hair gets wet in her scalp. However, after the menstrual cycle, it's recommended that she take out her braids when she makes the ghusl. However, if she doesn't take out her braids, her ghusl is still, inshallah ta'ala, complete and acceptable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The other question was, you said that was one on the about the braids, and there was something else?
That was it. That was the whole question.
Alhamdulillah. I don't know if there are any other questions related to the topic. If not, alhamdulillah. This is, as Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, the basic of the verdicts relating to the hayd, or the menstrual cycle, and the nifas, or the postnatal bleeding. If anybody wants a little more about this issue, then in our class, Masjid Ikhwa, we covered a little more detail, and maybe the people can refer to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Alhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.